From the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, pro-human patriots listening across the United States and around the world. I'm Alex Jones, your host, and I'm very honored to be here on this Sunday worldwide transmission, December 4th, 2016. We're going to be here for the next 2 hours. I've talked a lot about vision. I've talked a lot about understanding history and understanding where we stand today, as well as looking into the future. And I've always known that promoting basic free market human liberty, when it's pushed by a large enough segment of the population, is something that tyrants and monopolies and criminal organizations and other mafias can never outperform. They just can't compete with us. And that's why tyrannies always seek total control, hence the term totalitarianism or totalitarian. And on this Sunday broadcast, I want to break down some of the very exciting news that's taking place and also talk about the idea of promoting where liberty will take us and promoting true hope and true change in the face of the globalist model. I guess it was about 10 years ago I developed the term 1776 worldwide. We talked about the answer to 1984 is 1776. The answer to a global authoritarian model is a global model of liberty, not based by some central UN or megacorporation, but promoted by individuals in solidarity, regardless of what color you are or where you come from. And we now see 1776 worldwide taking shape across the planet. And I am very humbled to read many articles, even in mainstream media, admitting that the main progenitor of this modern idea is yours truly. But quite frankly, all I'm doing is taking ideas codified more than 400 years ago in Europe and promoting them in a modern sense today. We have timeless information that is the most modern thinking in history. The Renaissance in 1776 and everything that came out of it is an expression of all of our species' desire for self-determination and freedom. That said, they're holding a big referendum in Italy today. Now, Italy's famously corrupt with their voting, so who knows what will happen. But if it follows the line of UKIP and the Brexit, and if it follows what we saw with the election of Donald Trump and the Russians pulling out of globalism and the Catalonians pulling out of Spain and Iceland, pulling out of the whole globalist model as well, if they pull out, the globalists are calling it the final domino in the EU and it will collapse. Well, look, whether they steal this or whether they win this or whatever happens today, the polls show that the Italians want to begin pulling out of the EU and don't want to back up all this debt that isn't theirs. It's very exciting. And don't want to just open their borders up to North Africa and to the Middle East for a bunch of jihadis. So that vote is coming up today. We're going to be breaking that down coming up after this quick break. The vote in Italy will be a wide-ranging F-off, and it's just the start. It will determine the fate of the entire European Union. That's the article up on InfoWars.com right now. So you see the dominoes already falling, history happening. Just like that, suddenly 1776 worldwide, free market nationalism worldwide, and the big banks and the controlled corporate press they own keep shoveling racist this, racist that. It has nothing to do with racism that Brazil doesn't want to be under globalist control, or Nigeria doesn't want to be under globalist control, or that the United States doesn't want to be. It's not just that we're being ruled by foreigners and foreign corporations. They're ruthless and admit they want to, quote, make us poor to control us. And I know I harp on this constantly. It's because this is the coffin nails. This will bring them down. This is their real philosophy, and if we expose it, it's over. That's why they fight continually to expose what their real vampiric philosophy is. But I want to take you out with the words of Bob Marley. The Babylon system is the vampire. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alex Jones.
You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones.
Sunday, December 4th, 2016. I'm Alex Jones, and this is the InfoWar, the front lines in the fight for national sovereignty, human destiny, and free will. Strap yourselves in because this is going to be a jam-packed transmission. First off, before I get into all this really positive news, I want to get into something that absolutely proves everything we've talked about has been dead on correct. But all we were doing was following globalist white papers, their own statements, and studying history as a lens to see how these type of megalomaniac activities tend to basically play themselves out. Then I decided 27 years ago, to not just lay down and take it, but to be history's actor. Now, remember the arrogance, what was it, 10, 11 years ago, of Karl Rove talking to the New York Times, the Washington Post, at a cocktail party. And they said, yeah, but you lied about WMDs. You've been caught. I mean, you've done all these horrible things. He says, it doesn't matter. We're the government. We rule everything. We control reality. We're, quote, history's actors now. And we'll change reality on a day-to-day basis, and you will dutifully just repeat whatever we tell you to say, because you don't count now. Every megalomaniac who gets into power, who thinks that they're God, or who is part of a group like that, always ends up believing they're invincible. This is a fact. Julius Caesar had a man that stood behind him when he would ride a chariot into Rome and be worshipped as a god after a successful war or battle. Would have the man say to him over and over again, you are not a god, you're only a man, you are not a god, you're only a man. He knew that, but still went too far, setting himself up as a king or a Caesar, and was killed. So that's a historical example for everybody. Now, we're seeing globalism collapse all over the world right now. The globalists are in total panic. They were supposed to be invincible. The corporate chiefs, the shadow government, the tax-exempt elites. Now, their program of control is collapsing. It doesn't mean that we've defeated them yet. But in the process of exposing them lies the victory, because they're so illegitimate. But here's the big news. It's up on InfoWars.com. Obama has come out as a Zero Hedge article and is basically saying he's going to have his own TV network and that we're going to have state-run media now with direct government messages to the people. Well, we already have that. And now they've funded $160 million, it's passed the House, not the Senate, excuse me, $170 million, to create a, quote, office that will decide what's fake news. That's called Operation Mockingbird, the CIA involved in media. Don't they understand that the government's so discredited and media is so discredited, mainstream media, that when you come out and say something's fake, everyone runs to check for themselves and then makes up their own mind? This is the response of the dying dinosaur fake media themselves, putting their label on us, the ones that lied about polls, the ones that got caught giving the questions during the Democratic primary and in the main debates against Trump to her, the ones that got caught lying about that, the ones that got caught in memos being directed by the White House and directed by Hillary and directed by the Communist Chinese. My God, the Communist Chinese were in the Associated Press, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, everywhere in the last few weeks, telling Americans, you better shut down fake news, you better behave yourselves. The biggest mass murderers in history are now telling us what we better do and how the government and Zuckerberg better shut down the, quote, fake news, who Obama has listed. That is drugsreport.com, Infowars.com, Breitbart.com. We're the main three groups they attack. A lot of people say, is that scary, Alex, that Hillary naming you and Obama naming you? No, this is the greatest thing in my life. Absolute criminal tyrants sworn to destroy this republic and take over my family and your family, hate my guts. It means I'm following in my ancestors' footsteps of fighting tyranny, and I am so honored and so pleased. Ladies and gentlemen, we have them in the open now, saying they're going to censor us. We have them out in the open, nakedly, brazenly, coming out and saying they're going to delist websites and kick people's apps off the Apple Store and engage in all this type of stuff and send the IRS after people. Good, do it, criminals. Do it. Already trying to intimidate people with the IRS auditing tens of thousands of people and taking 501c3s away and going after gun rights groups only made people start fighting you harder and showed everyone exactly who you are. You know what Trump's going to do? Go ahead and try to pass your fake news bureau. Trump's going to sit there and shoot that thing down once he gets in. But I almost hope that he just gives it to the Democrats and lets them run it so they can run around delusionally like they're in total charge, telling everybody what they can believe and what they can. I told people about shadow government 20 years ago because it was in mainline textbooks. I wasn't telling each thing secret. Now it's all over the news. We got a shadow government running things. So the good news is these pathetic creatures are still so arrogant that last week alone, I don't even keep track of it, there were more than 10 news pieces on CNN alone, sometimes spending up to 30 minutes on yours truly, about how evil I am, how I'm a liar, misrepresenting what I say, twisting what I say. It just shows how desperate and pathetic they are, but they still don't get that I have a much bigger audience than they do. But the dwindling audience they have, a few hundred thousand an hour, is going to now tune in to hear who this abominable demon is and are just going to hear the truth that we're promoting. The truth is they want to label everything that doesn't want to, you know, live under a corporate tyranny as some type of racist demon. Are they racist in Brazil because they don't want to live under globalism? Are they racist in Spain? Are they racist in Iceland? Are they racist in Italy? Are they? No, it has nothing to do with this garbage. People don't want to live under multinational corporations that are taxing the hell out of them and flooding them with third world populations who they bring in to then be a voter base against the population. So that's the exciting news, is that now the gloves are off. Now the enemy is completely naked out in front of everybody. Now let's talk about something really key here, because this is something I haven't talked enough about. If you go back 3 weeks and some change, almost a month ago, or just a few days shy of a month since President Trump was elected, and go back to this and remember what the narrative was in the 2 weeks before. The alt-right, again, Hillary calls us that a few months ago. That's the new name for anyone that isn't mainstream media. She controls reality. She's God. She labels us the alt-right, so we accept that. Yes, you're the master. They said the alt-right has come out and said all these lies and all these bad things, and Trump has adopted their lies, and Trump has adopted all their disinfo. And so when Trump and the Republicans lose in the biggest landslide in history, they will be discredited. And we're going to have to then have laws to shut down and arrest everyone we say is fake. So they already knew that we were beating them, that they were really way behind in polls, that they were going to have to steal the election. They were scared. They were planning to steal it and then try to shut us down with the fake mandate that they'd won. So they had a mandate to then shut down free press in this country. We're a republic. You can have 51% saying shut something down. You don't do it in a republic. The minority's protected. But the landslide was so big that even though Hillary stole five states, they couldn't win. And notice, by the way, that they lost a whole bunch of governorships, a bunch of Senate seats, a bunch of House seats, and 900-plus legislative seats in states. This is the second biggest Republican landslide in the party's history. That's admitted. But notice Hillary barely lost. That's because they were focusing the stealing on her desperately, but it still failed. The internal poll showed him 10, 15, 20 points ahead. I was the laughing stock. I was laughed at. It didn't exist. They're not laughing now. No, I was telling you the truth. Now they admit the public polls were adding 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, sometimes upwards of 40-plus points for Hillary. It's all admitted. I'm real news. You're fake news. I have the real contacts. You don't. Generals and patriots and high-level folks talk to me because they know I'm real. They know I run my own media organization. They know I'm bigger than you. They know I'm independent. They know I'm a patriot. They know my family goes back to the start of the country. They know I'm not scum like you. Look in the mirror, scum. Anderson Cooper, you're scum. Okay, you work for foreign banks. You're a CIA operative. You can make jokes about it all day. It's well known. So all that's happening, and these people are sitting there trying to dictate to us that we would all be discredited, that it was all over for us, that it was the end of the InfoWar and the end of Breitbart. Instead, despite the fact they tried to steal it all, the avalanche was so big, it blew up in their face, and they lost. Now they're in total panic mode, but they're going ahead with their plan of intensifying race baiting, censorship, media control. Google, Chrome listing InfoWars and Breitbart is not real and all this crap. Listen, they delisted us on Alexa. They brought us down by 80% a few years ago. Everybody just quit using Alexa as a web rating source. When you people censor, you destroy yourselves. We're not operating in a vacuum here. You are exposing yourselves as the traitors you are. This is very, very exciting news. We'll be right back on the other side. Stay with us.
You have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
Hey,
getting into the fact that we've already had state-run media in this country for a long time. We've had the big corporate media aligned with government and with larger non-media corporations, mainly central banks, to push an agenda. They probably put out, let's not exaggerate, 100-plus movies, hundreds of TV shows, hundreds of books the last 3-4 years, creating racial division and showing black people being persecuted by white people to create a lot of bad blood. You also see every major movie that comes out that's action adventure based shows women as the heroes and women as being the best combat operatives or the best soldiers. It's admitted that that is in preparation of a draft for women and making women serve in the military. And Obama just announced that on Friday. And then it comes out in memos. It's come out in congressional hearings that almost all the stuff you see is Pentagon propaganda. Now, I want to be clear, I'm not blaming the Pentagon itself. They follow orders. But it's propaganda through the central government, through the Pentagon, and then into Hollywood. And that's just one part of it. There's famous videos, of course, of the former Attorney General Eric Holder saying at an RTF convention on C-SPAN, I want you to brainwash the public constantly against owning guns. This is what they do. So when you see these anti-family messages, basically everything you see is an anti-human message to make you alone, to make you poor, to make you pathetic. Remember the WikiLeaks, where they're meeting and they're like talking to top professors? Our main job is to keep them desperate and poor and sad and hopeless and in the dark. And we're doing a very good job. Now we've got to use cultural warfare as the next phase. I mean, this is in the WikiLeaks, okay? But you can see how cold-blooded it is when you witness it for yourself. That's what makes me so angry. But when I talk about state-run media, now having them openly do it and try to censor us shows they're failing. Oh, my gosh, the State Department announced on Friday, last Friday, it's going to call it the Office of Information Warfare. Oh, my gosh. A 22-year-old guy got a website called that in, like, 1995. His name was Alex Jones. Oh, you're so far ahead of us. You're kicking our butt in the info war. They want to claim we're the un-Americans and claim, quote, Russia's behind what we're doing. From Greece to Spain to Italy to Nigeria to you name it, all over Latin America, people want out of globalism. All it is modern colonialism, corporate colonialism. And then it tries to use race-based stuff to play groups off against each other. That's what colonialism always did as well. So people know. People are aware of what's happening, and they're not buying into it. It's very, very exciting. Now, that's it. I want to talk about Donald Trump, because I have a lot of people walk up to me on the street, and I see the emails, and I get the calls saying, Alex, what do we do about his appointments? He's putting some good people in. He's putting some bad people in. And a lot of times, you'd be all over somebody for this. Why aren't you more angry at Trump? Well, it's not because I've talked to him some on the phone or he's been on the show. It's because I know the globalist is scared of him because he is a nationalist. And he wants to bring back prosperity, and he's not out to get the family, and he wants to defund a bunch of federal agencies. And so they're legitimately scared of him, and they know he's riding a wave of populism, I'm going to talk about later, worldwide, that's sweeping, again, Italy, Iceland, you name it. It's happening right now, not just Brexit, not just Russia. This is happening all over the world. So he's riding that wave. He's starting to bring jobs back before he's even in office. And I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt because there's different management styles. And if he's putting some insiders in because they know how to get things done and they have all the connections, and he's bringing them in to basically, as an executive, be able to steer these groups and turn the ship around, then I'm all for it. If he just got in there and fought with everyone and, you know, day one, said man the parapets and only brought people in that had zero connections, I assure you the whole government would come to a standstill. It would be total gridlock and nothing would get done. Now, normally, I want gridlock because we've had globalists in there. It's been very, very corrupt. If Trump's really going to reverse things, then it's good to not have gridlock. And we have that with the House, the Senate, the courts, and the executive. It's not a pure trifecta yet because he doesn't quite have the courts completely. The Supreme Court is in deadlock, but he's about to have the courts. So he's about to have the trifecta. And with the trifecta, he can repeal anti-gun laws. He can control the border. He can target ISIS. He can cut the wasteful spending of the military and put it back on the spending of good weapon systems that good Patriot generals and others have been recommending. You know, get rid of these billion-dollar fighters that aren't as good as, you know, F-15s. There's a thousand things the president can do. And just battling the globalists, just getting organized, just getting a cabinet together, and just getting the 4,000 executive employees lined up is hard enough. People say, oh, well, he's going to put Goldman Sachs people in. Goldman Sachs folks that are nationalist and have said that they want to get rid of the Federal Reserve. See, everybody has to work for Goldman Sachs. They run the whole planet. So, yes, he's got some Goldman Sachs folks in there. And people are asking why. Trump says, quote, I always get the best. Here's the difference. They do what he says. Now, I think there's a danger because you bring in too many of those folks, they can have you assassinated and then have their people come in and take over and reverse things very, very quickly. He has a lot of confidence. I hope it's not you know, false confidence. I hope his gut's right. But I respect Trump a lot. So, again, the management style is totally clean everything out, bring in your own completely new people, hope you know how to run it, the biggest government in history. That's probably what I would do or what Ron Paul would do. But we're purists. With Trump, he's proven he knows how to get stuff done. We're going to see what happens. And I've got litmus tests. I want to see, you know, control that border. I want to see felons deported. I want to see a move, and I want to see him sign and promote repeal of a bunch of gun laws that are onerous and out of control. I want to see us, you know, Vermont open carry nationwide. If you're not a criminal, you've got full Second Amendment. And I want to see it after, you know, 10 years of a felon hadn't committed a crime, they get their Second Amendment back. That's how it was in the old days. In fact, before that, felons could, you know, keep their guns because, you know, everybody has a right to defend themselves. Criminals are going to break the law anyways. So I want to see massive repeal of anti-gun laws. I want to see continued detente with nations that will work with us. I want to see him stand up to communist China that's very belligerent and has infiltrated our country. He just did that with Taiwan. I have a special report coming up on that in the final segment of this hour. Very powerful, by the way, so stay with us for that. I want to see him get off the backs of the churches in this country and basically get rid of 501c3 that we didn't have until the 50s and say churches are not charities. Churches are their own independent system separate from church and state, so do whatever you want, which I know Trump's been promoting. I want to see him get rid of a whole bunch of these sub-agencies, like the new government fake news you know, regulation agency that the State Department's supposedly setting up. The State Department's been caught running mainstream media. They already have state-run media, so he needs to get rid of that. There's a lot of things he needs to do. We need to stay on Trump's side. The globalists haven't even written about this. They want, when he's not a purist, to drive us away from him so he doesn't have his base, so that he's got to go to the globalists for support. They're trying to push his base away from him right now. They're trying to get him to decry myself and fire Bannon and all of this to cut him away from his populist support base. We've got to support him at least until he gets into power and starts seeing what he does, and then stay on him the entire time to continue to put pressure on to make sure he does what we want. Trump works for us, ladies and gentlemen. We brought him to the dance, and he's going to dance with us. That's my bottom line. We're going to go to break and come back with an extremely powerful report. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
It's Sunday, December 4th, 2016. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Dave and I will be hosting live in the second hour coming up, and I'll be back in studio in Austin, Texas tomorrow. But I'm filing these special reports from the road. Now, I'll break down the history of communist China in the next segment and break down why it is the heart of the globalist model to take control of the planet. That's coming up. And the amazing fact that President Trump called the communist Chinese on their threats, on their bluffs, when he took the call from the Taiwanese president a few days ago. But before we go there, I want to intro this special report by Rob Doob, where he juxtaposes President Obama making fun of candidate Trump 6 months ago and a year ago in respective clips, saying that we could never have any industry or jobs ever come back here, and making jokes about a magic wand. Then we fast forward to what Trump's doing today. But briefly, and I'm going to talk more about this coming up this week, people like Sarah Palin, who mean well, have come out and kind of bought into the whole Heritage Foundation, mainline Republican kind of fake libertarian stance, that we have to be wide open to all these other countries screwing us over on bad trade deals, or we're not free market. No, ladies and gentlemen, this is the opposite. When we have the highest corporate income tax in the world, that makes companies not relocate here. So to cut our taxes and make them lower is not crony capitalism. Crony capitalism is insiders making deals with China to set our taxes up higher than they are overseas to make our jobs incentivized to move overseas. And if we have local tax incentives to, say, keep Carrier air conditioning in Indiana, that's what you do to be competitive. That's what a real free market is that you balance it out with the other nations that are manipulating their systems. So free trade doesn't mean you slit your wrist. Free trade's a two-way street. Here's that special report.
Going to let them just take our companies out, fire everybody. These are people with Carrier for many, many years. We're not going to let it happen.
He's going to bring all these jobs back. Well, how exactly are you going to do that? What are you going to do?
I will be the greatest jobs president that God ever created. I tell you that.
He just says, well, I'm going to negotiate a better deal. Well, how exactly are you going to negotiate that?
I mean, if he could come here and save these 1,400 jobs here tomorrow, I'll gladly vote for him again.
What magic wand do you have?
Late tonight, CNBC broke news. Trump is heading to Indianapolis this Thursday to announce a deal that would apparently save 1,000 jobs. Carrier confirming that report, tweeting out late tonight, we are pleased to have reached a deal with President-elect Trump and, this is key, VP-elect Pence to keep close to 1,000 jobs in Indy. More details soon.
What magic wand do you have? And usually the answer is he doesn't have an answer.
And more importantly, I heard Mike saying about what happened today in Indiana. We're going to do that all over the country. We're going to do it all over the country. Carrier, thank you, Carrier.
As Ford just announced, they're doubling down. They're going to build much more in Mexico. We can't allow it to happen anymore. We're not going to allow it to happen anymore.
What magic wand do you have?
President-elect Donald Trump taking credit for keeping a Ford auto plant here in the United States. He hit the motor company hard on the campaign trail, criticizing Ford for shipping jobs to Mexico.
Now, Ford chairman Bill Ford is extending an olive branch, calling Trump this week to let him know that the automaker is shelving a plan to move production of one of its vehicles from Kentucky to Mexico.
It used to be the cars were made in Flint, right? And you couldn't drink the water in Mexico. Today, the cars are made in Mexico, and you can't drink the water in Flint, Michigan. You know that, right? What a difference.
He just says, I'm going to negotiate a better deal. Well, how exactly are you going to negotiate that?
Will the iPhone label soon say made in America? Well, according to one report, opportunities to move production over to the States from China are actually being explored. If you see the new Trump administration come in and actually overhaul the corporate tax code, do things like spur infrastructure investment in the States, could that make this more feasible?
And maybe they start by building an assembly plant and just shipping parts here. That could lend to some of the manufacturing coming over here. And if Apple can jumpstart some of that and get some of this going, sure, I think it would be very reasonable for other companies to say, we like to say made in the U.S. as well.
I have my Trump hedge on. In the event Donald wins, I have no doubt in my mind the market tanks.
One analyst said markets were reacting like the four horsemen of the apocalypse just rode out of Trump Tower.
Today, what do you make of what we saw last night and really now what we're seeing today?
A huge market rally after Trump is elected president.
The stock market has rallied, reaching new heights at each close.
By the end of the day, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up about 255 points.
The Mexican peso plunged more than 13% against the dollar in chaotic trading. Trump's proposed policies are considered deeply negative for the country.
We're going to win with trade. We're going to win with
with health. We're going to win at so many levels. We're going to win, win, win. You're going to get so tired of winning. You're going to say, Mr. President, please, we don't want to win anymore. It's too much. And I'm going to say, I'm sorry. We're going to keep winning because we're going to make America great again. I love you. Thank you. Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo. Americanism, not globalism.
Our fellow InfoWarriors across the United States and across the planet really love the Hillary for Prison 2016 shirts that we began to put out in 2015. It became a global meme against globalism and corruption, and a very strong maxim that's now being continued on today. Now, President-elect Trump has come out and said it's not his job as president to call for prosecution. He's not supposed to. But that obviously, Jeff Sessions, as the new attorney general, if he's confirmed, will certainly carry out his duties. But Roger Stone, a few weeks ago, right after the election, said, Alex, you got to bring Hillary for prison back. And I said, yeah, but it's a limited edition. It's over. You know, she's been defeated so far. And he said, what about Hillary for prison 2017? We need those at the inauguration. They're trying to intimidate Trump supporters and nationalists everywhere. That shirt is powerful. It's not just a shirt supporting Trump, like your shirt that says Trump is my president, which we put out before he won, predicting it, putting our name, our guts on the line, but something exposing who the other team was pushing so that people don't forget and so that the push for justice continues. So it's a great way to support the broadcast. It's a great way to have another historic shirt to spread the word and to meet like-minded people of every race, color, and creed who bleed red blood and want justice. It's available. It's another limited run. I don't know how long we're going to offer it, but definitely only a few months. It is Hillary for Prison 2017, and here's the biggest and best part. I almost forgot. This shirt arrived in 18-wheeler, printed right here in the USA a week ago, and I forgot. I've been so busy to even talk about the fact it's been in the store. That on the back of the shirt is a design that I worked on with some of our great graphics people that is George Soros as a goblin. I made a goblin joke a year ago about Trump, saying you better not, you know, actually get in bed with the goblins if he has to work with politicians, but I understand if he has to actually, you know, get knee-deep in their political guts, but he just can't get caught in bed with a goblin. So we now have George Soros, because the media attacked me on this whole goblin meme. They've made huge jokes about it, but it's totally blown up in their face. We now have George Soros as a goblin on the back, and it says, with a cross through him, you know, an X like Ghostbusters, no Soros, him as a goblin. It says deport Soros on the bottom, and on the top it says InfoWars established 1996. So it is a limited edition deport Soros on the back, Hillary for prison on the front, right hand shoulder, InfoWars.com. It's powerful. Hope you get out to everybody you know. InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139. So to all the fellow liberty lovers around the world, I salute you and thank you for your support. This shirt is a celebration of the fight and the victory we've seen in 2016 against tyranny, but looking forward for justice against George Soros, Hillary Clinton.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
I want to break down the China-Taiwan situation from a historical perspective that, again, is incontrovertible. What I'm going to break down here is a fact that is even in mainline history books, but is not taught on the History Channel or on the nightly news in general. Sometimes the History Channel has actually gotten it right and told the truth. And that's where we start. 1949. The communists had been around since the 30s. They'd taken over some of the mountainous areas in China. They had held out during World War II. And at the end of World War II, they became allied with the then brand new CIA that had come out of the British OSS. And basically, even a lot of U.S. intelligence officers and army officers got arrested by the communists because they wouldn't go along with the full takeover of the country, and they themselves were tortured. They were killed. Many of the Christian missionaries that were there were also captured and killed. And, of course, the John Birch Society is named after John Birch, who was captured and tortured to death for not supporting the communists. And our government completely turned a blind eye to all of this. Now, it's a huge history. I'm going to stop there with what happened in 1949. But if we fast forward to 1979, by then, deals have been made behind the scenes via Henry Kissinger and George Herbert Walker Bush, who was then ambassador to China. Of course, he'd also been director of the CIA, to make a deal economically with China to give them the rare earth minerals, to give them the Panama Canal, and to give them control of resources as long as they didn't become military dominant in the surrounding areas of Asia, like the South China Sea, and as long as they didn't menace Japan. This is all mainline history, folks. Now, of course, from the beginning, China was double-dealing the entire time. Now, fast forward to 2016, China has 97.5% of rare earth minerals that you need to make basically any computer device or electronics. That's been done by design. The West just doesn't touch it, doesn't mine it, doesn't go after it, because there's a corporate global treaty, just like TPP, unratified by governments but followed, okay? So fast forward to the globalist operative who was following this whole plan of Kissinger and Brzezinski, 1979, who's president? You guessed it, Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter signs a deal to hand over the Panama Canal, the eighth wonder of the world, to the communist Chinese. He then signs a deal to give them all the major deep water ports that the U.S. had previously had in the world, and to give them access to all of our refueling stations, previously known as coaling stations. Again, the globalists are making a deal to use Chinese slave labor to leverage out the planet's other major economic and industrial operations to create an economic consolidation, vertical integration model. This is globalism. China is the key. That's why they say China is the new century. America and the West is declining. China's the future, because the deal was made, because they were authoritarian, to transfer all power to them, because they would then side with the globalists in the phase we're now entering to establish an open world corporate government. Now, enter Donald John Trump, 45th president elect of the United States of America. Trump is being advised by Mad Dog Mattis, who is a brainiac, huge reader, huge understander of this, big anti-communist. He's being advised by General Flynn. I'm not going to go over all the advisors, but Trump already knew this as well 40 years ago. This was huge scandals back in the late 70s, huge scandals in the 80s that the Republican Congress, even with Reagan, allowed this to all go through. Because it didn't happen right away just because, you know, Carter, the peanut farmer, signed off on it. So, we're in 1979. They get the Panama Canal. They get all these other concessions. They're just given everything. China could barely even operate. China was third world in almost every sector of its entire country. But now they're going to be given the deal. Corporate taxes are raised to the highest in the world in the United States and Europe. So you cannot compete here. Where do you go? China. So over the next 30 years, that all accelerates. That brings us to about 10 years ago. Taiwan is where Chiang Kai-shek, the nationalist, fled in 1949 when the CIA and the United States government betrayed him. That's even since been on the History Channel. That's now admitted. The John Birch Society said that in 1956 when they were founded. It was proven over a decade ago and declassified. Look it up for yourself. They have History Channel shows on it. You name it. They gave Chiang Kai-shek, you know, rifles that didn't have firing pins in them. Remember all that? So, and they gave all the intelligence on even how to arrest members of the U.S. Army and people that were there, because even elements of our own government didn't know, so there was different factions in our own government. So this is the high treason, selling us out to the communists in China for command and control. So they all flee to Taiwan in 1949. It becomes the nationalist hub. We give them weapons. We have defense treaties with them. All this goes on. Going back to 1979, the sellout, not just the Panama Canal, not just the agreement on rare earth minerals and mining, not just all the agreements on textiles and everything else. No. Now, 1979, Jimmy Carter says, we're no longer going to talk to the president of Taiwan. We're not going to recognize them. But we still had a defense treaty, so okay, we'll sell them weapons. But we won't sell them weapons that they can actually defend themselves with properly. We'll sell them out-of-date crap. Now, along comes Donald J. Trump, and he says, hey, this isn't business as usual. We're where China owns our debt and China lectures us, and every major Hollywood movie you see has weird propaganda in it about how Chinese science is why we're able to go to the moon or Mars, or, I mean, every movie you see, like The Martian, you name it, we don't have boosters that work, and it cuts to the Politburo with big red flags waving, in some cases with actual members of the Politburo, and they save America in every major movie, from The Arrival to The Martian, to you name it, and they stop U.S. films from coming out, like Red Dawn 2, and cut China out of it. They're buying up all six Hollywood studios as we speak and bragging they've captured us. They make Obama get off the back of the plane, treat him like total crap, tell him, screw you, Americans. Remember that 3 months ago? This is all part of their out-of-control, insane arrogance, and they've broken the deal with the globalists and are now militarily expanding into Africa, into Latin America, into the Caribbean, into all areas of the Pacific. But again, Kissinger and others are happy because they were always part of the double cross against America. Let's continue. So there's the New York Times, there's the Washington Post, there's CNN. How dare Trump, a president-elect, take a phone call? First, they lied and said that the first elected woman to Taiwan, she won in a landslide. She's a pro-nationalist, a party, very, very popular, but also, you know, liberal in a lot of their policies. So they're bipartisan, very well balanced. She calls him. He takes the call. He knows full well what he's doing. She congratulates him. He congratulates her. And then the media acts like, how dare this buffoon screw us over and anger the Chinese that are now in the news lecturing us and getting in our faces. And Trump tweeted, funny, we sell them billions of dollars of weapons a year, but then we won't even take their president's phone call. This is disgusting. Then the media spun it like he didn't know what he was doing. Trump knew exactly what he was doing. He said, we're going to be treated with respect. We're not going to have one-way streets with China anymore. They've broken their deal even with the globalists. And the American people didn't sign on to that deal with the globalists. So there's a basic snapshot history of what's really going on with China. And as Christ said, the people perish for lack of knowledge. You will know the truth. It will set you free. And if people want to know the truth, if they want to be set free, they can study history and understand that basically, if you look at the globalists today, they say they want to replace human workers with robots so they can dictate the terms of human surrender to the technocracy. Well, before they had robot factories, they had 1 billion Chinese. Back then, it was like 900 million in the late 70s. Now it's 1.3 billion, okay? And that is basically the biological android army of the globalists. That's how the globalists, the technocrats, see them. They see us as subhuman. They see the Chinese as subhuman as well, to just build all these widgets and different things so the West would sell out its industrial capacity to communist China, and that's now happened. And President Trump is breaking through that, as he's promised to do, and is bringing jobs back to America, and is standing up for our nation, and is standing up for our republic, and doing absolutely incredible things, and that's why they're panicking. That's why they're so upset. Yes, the President of the United States can call Taiwan and can talk to their president. And if the president of Taiwan calls him, he can talk to her. This is ridiculous to show how these terms are being dictated to us and how our corporate media are such incredible lapdogs to foreign interests bossing us around and telling us what to do. That's globalism, and it's coming to an end with Americanism, not globalism.
All right, I'm David Knight here live on this Sunday, December 4th. I'll be back in the second hour. We're going to be talking about an update on the Italian elections. This is another step in nationalism versus globalism, and the globalists are losing their 60-40. We're also going to talk about the recount. We've got a special poem, Ode to a Recount. We've got a lot of news. We got moderate rebels saying they're going to be closer to Al-Qaeda. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Fear is the passion of slaves, and this man knows no fear. He is Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, December 4th, 2016. I'm David Knight. We're going to be talking in this hour. Of course, we're going to be joined by Alex Jones later on in the hour. We're going to be talking about an update to the Austrian and the Italian elections. If you remember back earlier this week, we had Gerald Celente looking forward to 2017, and he said this is going to be a momentous election this weekend. So we're going to break down those results for you. Also, we're going to take a look at the desperate attempts of Jill Stein as she goes from Jill to Jill the shill for Hill. You know, she's pushing continuously for these elections. So we're going to take a look at some very interesting data that has emerged from, and let me see, which state was this? This was from Wisconsin. I was sent a link to the election results in Wisconsin. And as this guy who sent it to me from Raleigh, his name is, let me get his name here, it's Frank Mertes from Raleigh, North Carolina. Of course, North Carolina's got their own election recount that's going on. It's a legitimate recount to take a look at, in particular, Durham County rigging stuff. Well, what they're seeing is in the city of Milwaukee, another one of these cities that delayed their recounts, they're seeing massive decline in Hillary Clinton's votes. And as he pointed out, you almost begin to wonder if the Trump team paid Jill Stein to do this because it makes Hillary and the Democrats look so bad. It exposes their game that they typically resort to. So we're going to take a look at that in the next hour as well. And we're going to take a look at the broader-based economic policies that we're now seeing with Donald Trump. Again, I had done a special report earlier in the week for the Nightly News. I said the carrier deal looks like this may be the end of crony capitalism in a lot of ways. And I'm going to explain that to you. Even though there was $7 million paid out to them, it was paid out by the state. But I want to compare what Barack Obama did for this same plant, the 4C expansion program that he created, which was a massive, it's 48C rather, it's a $2.3 billion tax credit program that Obama set up for green industries that did absolutely nothing. It didn't even have any requirement that people stay in the United States or that the capital stay in the United States. They could send their money to factories in other countries. See, that's the way Obama plays the game. He had a pen, he had a phone. He never picked up that phone in 8 years to try to save any jobs in America. Instead, he took office threatening to shut down and bankrupt entire industries. And he came pretty close. But, you know, the marketplace is pretty stubborn. It's pretty resilient. And it withstood 8 years of attacks by Barack Obama to try to artificially shut down the energy markets that he didn't like. It also withstood his attempts to try to prop up energy markets that make no sense. So we're going to take a look more closely at these deals that are coming out. But first, in the time we've got left here in this segment, what we're seeing right now in Italy is that Renzi is losing 60 to 40. Now, he is a globalist. He staked his continuance in politics on this election. We saw earlier in the day the lefties rejoicing. They said, oh, this is great. We see a Daily Mail report. They say, is Europe's Brexit revolution over? We had gloating left-wing supporters saying, thank God that the people who were trying to maintain Austrian sovereignty lost. We're going to go full globalism. Remember earlier in the week, Donald Trump laid it out. He didn't talk about sovereignty, but instead he said, there's not going to be any global flag, any global citizenship, any global currency. It's going to be the American version of all those things. So he broke it down. The flag, the currency, citizenship. That's what we're talking about here. This isn't racism. But see, when they try to project the Austrians who are talking about that, as they always characterize them as far right. Anybody that doesn't want to surrender their currency, their flag, their laws to a globalist organization, no, you're far right if you do that. And they paint you as a racist. And in Austria, that goes pretty far because they remember Adolf Hitler. So you call somebody Hitler in Austria, that is very damning. So he lost that election. Interestingly enough, he was ahead by 1%. Before the election, and then he wound up losing by 6 or 7%. But we're going to take a look at what happened in Italy, as well as those other topics. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's the most wonderful time in 8 years. Yet some kids are protesting while Trump fans investing their time with good cheer. Sing, it's the most wonderful time in 8 years.
Most wonderful time in 8 years. That's a great viral video that's going around the internet right now. Give me the name of that guy. I forgot to write down who it was that actually did this, but that's perfect. A lot of hope. Right now we're going through a honeymoon right now with the people who voted for Trump. Of course, the left has not given him a chance. They were posing him from day one, doing everything they could to try to make this election illegitimate. And we're going to talk about Jill Stein's efforts. We're going to look at it in detail. A couple of these states, I think there's some very interesting details that have merged here. She's looking so bad in the Wisconsin counts that one person who sent this spreadsheet data to me from the state of Wisconsin said you almost have to wonder when you see the kind of corruption coming out of Democrat strongholds like the city of Milwaukee, you have to wonder if it was Trump who's behind Jill. No, she's actually being a shill for Hillary, and she's working on her own benefit. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But let's talk about why this is the most wonderful time in 8 years. You know, we've seen this factory saved, and we've seen Donald Trump continue today to talk about his policies. We have a story that's up on InfoWars from Bloomberg. Ford says they're willing to work with Trump if the policies are right, says the CEO. And you have to understand, this is why I'm hopeful about this. Okay, first of all, we talked about the details of the Indiana jobs. $7 million from Indiana state money. It wasn't money that Trump gave him. He's not president yet. He couldn't give them the money if he wanted to engage in crony capitalism. And yet you have all these people on both the left and the right who are screaming, crony capitalism, crony capitalism. Let's break it down. $7 million for 1,000 jobs over 10 years. That's $700 a year per job. They're going to get more than that in the state of Indiana back from the just the taxes that these people paid, let alone the amount of money that will remain in the economy to boost it up everywhere else. So you can discuss this at the state level, decide whether you think that's a good thing. That's very different from what we usually see with these big companies brought in to set up jobs, getting $100,000 per job they say they're going to create. We've seen that here in Texas. We saw it with Elon Musk. That is true crony capitalism, and you cannot support that by any way, means, or form. And yet people do just love Elon Musk. This guy can do no wrong. He's like Steve Jobs. And even though he gets $4 billion, people of crony capitalist funds to create his factories, nobody complained about that, did they? Very few people did. Eric Peters talked about that. We had him on, and a few other people did, but most people just give him a pass. But you pay a little bit of money, $700 per job per year, to bring these people in, and yet they go crazy with this. But when we look at this Ford situation, what he's talking about are the policies, the economic policies that Trump campaigned on, and he's still talking about it. He says, yeah, I'm going to do that. And he doubled down on it today on some tweets. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But here's what the Ford executive said. He said they're looking for things from President Trump that they want to see. These are the type of policies that they want to have him take a look at. The currency manipulation rules, which, of course, Donald Trump talked about that, how currency manipulation is one of the key things that China and other countries do. And understand, China is not a globalist country. They're not about free trade, are they? Why is it that they get a pass? Why aren't they criticized by all these people who support globalism? See, Kissinger and Nixon set these guys up. These Chinese crony capitalists are hyper-nationalists. They do everything to benefit China, and they could care less about free trade. And one of the things they do is currency manipulation. So he says, yeah, we want to see some currency manipulation rules to promote free and fair trade. We want to see tax reform. Yeah, Trump does too. And he says, then we want to see some safety guidelines for autonomous vehicles. That's where Ford wants to apply some pressure, okay? Remember, it's probably 40, 50 years ago, Walter Reuther, maybe longer, it's decades ago, the UAW head, he went to a Ford factory, and the Ford executive said, hey, look at these machines here. We've added to cut labor costs, cut jobs. And he says, how are you going to organize these machines to pay union dues? And Reuther said to him, well, how are you going to get these machines to buy a Ford? Okay, that's what we're looking at. So you want to pay slave wages to people in America? You want to cut out our jobs with robots? You want to pay slave wages to people in Mexico to make your cars? Who's going to buy your cars? Are the people in Mexico going to be able to afford it? See, it's the antithesis of what Henry Ford wanted to do. He famously said that he wanted to raise wages for his Ford factory workers so they would be able to afford to buy his car. But they don't want you to buy a car. See, Ford is considering itself not so much as a car manufacturer, but as a transportation provider. They want to rent cars to you, like Uber does, except they want to cut out the middleman, Uber, and do it directly to you. They're going to have their self-driving cars available in 5 years, but not for sale, for rental only, because they think like global capitalists. They want to turn everybody into renters, into sharecroppers, into serfs, into servants who don't own anything, who don't have jobs. You can't afford to buy their cars. Of course, you're not going to be able to afford it. You're not going to have a job, but they want you to rent your transportation from them. And they will work with the government to make sure that everybody has to ride their tax and tracks taxis so they can follow you everywhere, look at everything that you're doing, and make you pay them every time you move. See, automobiles have been a big part of the American economy, and they've been a big part of American freedom. And they're coming after both of those things. And so hopefully that's going to change with Trump. He talks about how they've been forced with regulations to try to push electric vehicles that nobody wants. And I thought this was kind of interesting. He said in 2008, there were 12 electrified vehicles offered in the U.S. market. They had 2.3% of the industry. He said today, 2016, 8 years later, we've got 55 models. So they go from 12 models to 55 models. But the percentage of the marketplace is has gone only from 2.3% to 2.8%. Why is that? Because we're still paying Elon Musk a carbon tax, a shift. When you buy a regular car, an internal combustion machine, you pay Elon Musk primarily because he sells mostly electrical cars. You pay him a fee. A tax is applied to regular cars to subsidize these cars that nobody really wants to buy. But he talks about how right after the election, Trump talked to Bill Ford, the chairman of Ford, the executive chairman, and they were talking about that plant moving. And he said Trump influenced their decision because of what he's talking about in terms of his economic policies, whether it's tax reform or otherwise. That's the really hopeful thing here. Yes, it's hopeful that Trump would save jobs in one factory. We want something that is going to save jobs across America. We want the regulatory and tax burden to be reduced. We want the unfair competition from abroad to be reduced. And that's what Trump understands. And so he's going to look at broad-based tax and economic policies that will benefit all businesses, not just selected businesses. So I think that is very, very positive. But we still see the conservative media, as well as now the liberals, have discovered for the first time that they don't like crony capitalism. They've never complained about that before. They've never spoken out for free market. But now we have CNN saying Trump's 35% Mexican tax would cost Ford billions and hurt Americans. Well, I don't think that 35% tax is going to be directed simply at Mexico. It's going to be directed at people who move their factories abroad and then bring the stuff back in, whether it's Mexico or China or India or wherever they want to go. But nevertheless, again, they put that there to try to bring in an element of racism to it that is not there. But they've been silent about Obama creating a stimulus-funded package, even as it failed repeatedly. Of course, we had Solyndra that failed. He tried to pick a winner there. He tried to subsidize them when the market didn't want it. They failed famously after a lot of money was given to them. But let's talk for a moment about this 48C program. This is a $2.3 billion program, the Advanced Manufacturing Tax Credit Program that Obama put through. The same factory in Carrier. In Indiana, the Carrier factory got a $5.1 million stimulus-funded tax credit. These people complain about that by saying, hey, we gave them $5 million and they're taking their jobs away. See, National Review talked about that in February of this year, February 2016. They said 3 years ago, in 2013, the same factory in Indiana, the same Carrier factory, got $5 million of federal money, not state money. And they were able to say, we're going to shut this down and leave. Why? Because most of the recipients who had a lot of these, a large minority, had foreign parent companies. And American-based companies only got 59% of the funds. 40% were going to foreign companies. And they had no penalty if these people took the money and ran, whether they're American or foreign. They just used it as a beard. That's what Obama did. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Bad luck wind been blowing at my back.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. Alex Jones is going to be joining us with a special report in the next section. I'm going to continue with what I was talking about. You know, as we see people on the right complaining about Donald Trump and saying, this is not the right way to go, giving subsidies to individual factories. And as I talked about, that same factory had been given about the same amount of subsidy by Obama, and they never complained about it. And under that program, About 40% of the money that is going out into the 48C program that Obama created for green jobs is able to go out of the country. As a matter of fact, even the ones that is already going out of the country to foreign companies, to have foreign companies make green jobs. And of the 60% that was going to American companies or people that had American presence here, there was no provision that they would have to give that money back if they took the money and then ran to another jurisdiction. See, that's the insanity of Obama. That was the ineffectiveness of his policies. And it was crony capitalism, and yet you didn't see these people like CNN complaining about that at the time. Now, there's an article from Activist Post that points out that just in Wisconsin alone, a group did an analysis, Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, that showed just in that one state, the rapid expansion of only licensing requirements. It's just one part of the regulations that they put on companies had caused, over the last 20 years, 31,000 fewer jobs and cost consumers about $2 billion, about what Obama wasted on his green jobs as well. So that's the kind of waste that we keep seeing. And here's the bottom line, folks. They say it is rank protectionism to have these kind of licensing jobs. They say it's a device to fence in those who already have permission to work and to fence out those who do not. See, most of these states who have right-to-work laws will say, you got a right to work, and that mean by that they mean a union. It's like, fine, okay. But then you have to apply for a privilege if you want to create a company. You have to get a privilege license. That always seemed upside down to me. I should have the right to start a company, and that should not be a privilege. But they say, yeah, you have a privilege license in order to get a job, to create a company, but no, you have a right to work. Well, I should have a right to create a company as well. But they shut that down. And that's what Trump is talking about. Broad-based programs that are going to cut regulations that are going to create a level playing field for us. Why should we allow these other companies to compete on slave wages? What is the humanitarian basis for that? These people who talk about being global citizens. I just don't understand it. Now, today we've had some more developments in the globalism versus nationalism in the EU. We had an election first that went towards people who were maintaining the status quo of the EU, and the leftists were really excited about that. Of course, they portrayed the guy as a far-right person. I don't know if he was far-right or not. They say that about everybody that opposes globalism, that opposes the EU. You're a far-right-wing racist, they say. But things have turned out the other way around in Italy. We now have the Italians voting in a reform, and as of about an hour ago, they were projecting very heavy losses. You can see this up on the Drudge Report. It looks like Renzi, who made this a referendum on the EU, is losing 60-40. This was by the AP. They said it was a referendum that Renzi has staked his political future on, hoping to survive the rising populist forces that have gained traction across the EU. And the German newspaper had a headline, Europe at Stake. That was the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung. The Guardian noted that the referendum was among a series of votes in Europe that could conceivably herald the end of the European project in its current form. See, there is a wave going across the entire world, not just with Brexit, not just with Donald Trump, but it is going across the entire world. People said we have a right to govern ourselves, to make some of these decisions ourselves. We're not going to be subsumed into a globalist project. And I think that's a great move. So very good news out of Italy today with that being turned back. And I want to talk a little bit about the people who still can't get their heads around the fact that Donald Trump got elected. We got Sally Field. Here we are, Breitbart story. 4 weeks after the election, she still can't come to terms with the fact that Donald Trump won. She said, I just don't understand it. And when I saw that and saw the picture of Sally Fields, I thought about her standing up, holding the Oscar and saying, they love him. They really love him, with tears in her eyes. Because that's what she couldn't believe that they really were going to give an Oscar to her. And she can't believe that they're really giving, that we really gave the presidency to Donald Trump. She has a hard time accepting reality. But I want to talk about Jill Stein and her recount efforts here. I was just kind of thinking about this earlier today, how Jill is a shill for Hill. And I thought, hey, there's got to be a poem in that somewhere. So I wrote a little bit of a poem here. And to do it justice, I think we need the music from Fractured Fairy Tales in the background. This is an ode to a recount that I wrote. Can we get the music, guys? Pop up the music here. Big surprise. There we go. Okay. Remember that? Remember Fractured Fairy Tales? Ode to a recount. Jill the Shill went up a hill to carry Hillary's water. Hillary fell down and lost her crown, and Jill will come tumbling after. That's exactly what's going to happen, folks. Let me give you some of the details of this. And I wish I had the glasses that Ernie Kovacs used to wear when he did Percy Dove Tonsils doing poetry. That would have made it better. But we use the clip there from Fractured Fairy Tales. And I had somebody send me from Raleigh, North Carolina. His name is Frank Mertes. He sent me an email, which I thought was really good. Thank you, Frank. I don't know Frank, even though I'm from Raleigh as well. He said, could this be right? He sent me links to the spreadsheet at the Wisconsin state government. And he said, you almost begin to wonder if the Trump team paid Jill Stein to do this. She has lost half of her votes in many of these wards in the city of Milwaukee. And so I started looking at the data to verify it, and I typed in Milwaukee, and I started looking at the cross references there, and it's like, no, there's no change. This the 0% change. Now, that was the county of Milwaukee. So when I looked at the county of Milwaukee, guess what? Started going down ward by ward, looking at them, and they were spot on. The reported results were exactly what they recounted, and so forth and so on. But when you get to the city of Milwaukee, a Democrat stronghold, what do you see? You see that ward by ward, she gets 37% less votes than reported, 69% less than reported. Hillary gets 40% less votes than reported, 56%, 44%. Then you get to some of these other wards, 97% less votes than she reported. In other words, they reported double the number of votes for Hillary that she got. Another one, 87%. Another one, 99.8% more reported for Hillary in the first count than she got in the recount. You understand that? See? And the Democrat strongholds, and this is what's going on in North Carolina, they extended the voting. They always do that. It's the cities. They say, oh, you know, we need more time. We're a mess. We can't get our stuff together. They look to see what everybody else has. They pad this stuff. In this case, the city of Milwaukee doubling the votes for Hillary in a lot of these wards and then sending that in, and now that's been found out. Okay. So what is Jill Stein doing in one of the other states? Okay, so it's Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan that she's trying to do because she thought she could ball up the entire Electoral College. Well, she missed the deadline in Pennsylvania, so now she's going to file tomorrow in federal court. Just won't give up. If she missed that deadline by a full week, why is she still going in Pennsylvania? And then in Michigan, they're still trying to fight this as well. It isn't going to work. It's simply an attempt to discredit Donald Trump. We see through it, Jill. We know exactly what's going on. Stay with us on the other side of the break. Alex Jones.
A thousand books have been written about the purpose-driven life or having a life that's based on believing in something. And all the statistics and studies show that that truly is the most engaged, happy, fulfilled person, and that folks that actually care about something are the people that build civilizations. There have been a lot of different cultures, a lot of different worldviews throughout history, but any civilization that got above Stone Age implements and was able to build any type of basic society was not completely based on the conquest model of just being able to take over your neighbors. But as we enter the modern technotronic era that Brzezinski talked about, it's all about being able to dominate and control again. Not about what you build, not about what you write, not about what you stand for, not about your idea being better than other people's, and then other folks gravitate towards that higher level of civilization society. Through the modern psychological systems that have been deployed through television the last 60, 70 years, society's been set up to be weak, to be passive, to be pathetic, so that it can be incrementally, completely, basically overwritten. Again, the technocrats admit they're not building a docile, dumbed-down population so that they can basically just move forward and have a pliant group that submits to them. They want a pliant group so that as the breakaway civilization becomes more and more evident, the public is so poisoned, so distracted, so brain damaged, so twisted, so unconscious that they can't put up a fight against that takeover. I am sitting here right now in a crowded airport in the huge
feeding frenzy, food court sector. And I'm looking at people, and I see incredibly soft, incredibly distracted, incredibly insecure, incredibly unconscious folks. And almost to a man, when I see somebody who has electricity in their eyes, I don't care if they're Hispanic, black, white, Asian, doesn't matter, I can walk over and talk to them, and they're a listener or they're aware of what's going on. When I talk to other people, they seem to be in oblivion that I even care about them or even want to talk to them. And there are a lot of factors that feed into this, but I want to be clear. I don't take any pleasure looking at how stunted and overweight and weak and bleary-eyed the population is. I realize that I'm weak and bleary-eyed and stunted to a great extent. But I'm not one of these men that gets around men that are stronger than I am or smarter than I am and feels insecure and wants to pull them down. That's something the globalists have instilled from on top into the general population so we can never work together. And I don't just go off how people look. Sometimes someone who physically is not attractive can have beautiful art, beautiful soul, beautiful literature, beautiful will of action. But by and large, the packaging does fit what's inside the book. A lot of times what you see on the cover is what's actually in the book. And it is very, very frustrating and sad to see that we've all fallen to this level. And it's not just the globalists that did it. We are products of the fact that we took control of our own environment. Humans are the only creature that can really do that on this planet. We take control of our environment. We build our own system. And we build it to make it easier for us to live and procreate and be successful. The problem is that, just as I've said many times, it's like a space mission. You take our best astronauts, you send them to Mars, it takes them a year to get there or more. By the time they get there, because of no gravity, even if they try to exercise, their heart muscles deteriorated 10 years on average. They will hardly be able to even walk. And it's the same thing with the television culture, the high-tech culture, the smartphone culture. It's had a lot of attributes, but more minuses than pluses. And it's turning us into domesticated animals. So we're being enslaved by our own devices. And it's kind of like the Romans for a while lined their pottery with lead. They didn't know lead was poisonous, so there was the madness of the Romans and the mental illness and the deformity and the inbreeding. So human DNA also has been through a lot of torture, especially in the modern GMO, chemical industrialized age. It has had devastating effects on people. And so I don't point this out to put people down. I point this out to say that we should lift ourselves up and become aware of it and build a civilization that is based on creating a better system and empowering individuals and not just acting like the elite do and just shutting off humanity as if it's being consigned to the ash bin, the rush bin of history. But there are arguments the globalists have for how the public has been dumbed down. There are arguments to say, why do they even deserve to live, or why not just go ahead and take them out of their misery? The problem is the globalists can't make that decision for other people, and the globalists themselves are inbred and more mentally ill and more stunted in many cases than the general public. Even though they have some genetic innate intelligence, it's still very, very fear-based, very, very craven, very, very sneaky. And if they tried to lift up the general public, they would have lift themselves up. Instead, they sell the fact they're trying to lift everybody up and taking a modern version of Kipling's White Man's Burden. And they are dumbing everyone down to a greater extent. I don't care what color you are. We are seeing the fall of the West. We're seeing a fall of the birth rates. We are seeing a fall in physical IQs. And we are seeing every white paper and every maxim and every globalist program that has been established is there to not make people individuals, to not make people be trailblazers, to not make people be overachievers, but to make people be absolutely servile and colorless and tasteless. I saw a big article on Infowars.com a few days ago where a professor was saying, we can't wait for the day that everyone looks the same. This is going to be so wonderful. It's like 1984 where everybody's wearing gray jumpsuits. This is really the dream of the authoritarian, because until they've captured humanity itself, they'll never feel like they've been empowered. But as far as we've fallen, still remember the fact that we can recognize beauty, stand up for what's right, create art, love each other, and be passionate, and stay true to our basic human instincts and basic human programming that God gave us, we will go through this crisis that's coming and transcend it. But it's true when the globalists say the Earth has reached its carrying capacity with the technologies they're allowing to be deployed. And it's true that much of the public isn't even really alive and doesn't even want to be alive and are just consumers that just mindlessly interface with the mainstream culture and who are in a death spiral. But again, the globalists helped set up the system to do that. You look at what people look like. I don't care if they're black, if they're white, if they're Hispanic, Asian. You look at what people looked like in the 40s and 50s in photos and in films. They had electricity in their eyes. They were good-looking. They were handsome on average. They were well-dressed, even though they were poor. They were self-respecting. They were focused. And it is television. It is the modern spectator culture of people in a trance state that has turned us into these ugly things. And I mean physically and culturally and spiritually. And economically, we're in total debt. Every metric shows disease is off the chart, both degenerative and communicable. Evil has been set loose in the world. Then you catch Obama with the border wide open, shipping in people with leprosy and TB and every other disease you could imagine, spreading all over the country, not even testing them, even though they know they have it. They've caught them inside the country. And just ordering the Border Patrol to just let people in, not even taking care of those that are brought in. This is pure wickedness. This is an evil design, a hatred of the general public. Globalists look at an airport like this, and they see these zombies. They see these unconscious people. They see marks. But they've already taken over the economic system 100 times over through fraud, so they don't need them anymore. They've taken it all over. They've created derivatives 500 times the wealth of the world. So they see all these people as just weevils in their storage room, in their pantry, weevils that are basically eating their stores, their property, what they have. They've hijacked the earth. They've conquered the earth. And as conquerors, they believe they're the rightful kings and heirs of everything. And I'll tell you what, folks, if you don't stand up and get involved, you then are ceding control to them. You're advocating it. And it does make them the rightful rulers. But here's the deal. They've got a plan that even if half the public wants to go along with it or is unaware of it, that takes the free will of so many hundreds of millions of other people that don't deserve to be slaves and who don't want to be slaves. And InfoWars is about the awakening to this and the understanding of it and coming back into consciousness and coming back into learning how the world works and not just being a self-centered blob that watches TV all day and thinks caring is weak.
They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe, lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way.
In defense of human liberty, Alex Jones.
I'll be looking for aid when they pull that gate, and I hope that judge ain't blind.
It's strong, it opens your soul, it opens your mind, it opens pathways and doors of perception throughout the universe. And it's done such things in my life, it's amazing. I've met people and know people and get to work with people that are, you know, the top astronauts, the top leaders in the world, the top generals, the top artists, you name it. I've basically met them or talked to them, and they just reach out just to say, hey, we're on board. And I reach back and say, I'm on board. And that's what it's really all about, a kinship. And again, we're all human beings. We can all transcend this together through beauty and strength and love of God and Jesus Christ that the enemy hates so much. It should also be added that anybody can observe that the phenomenon of people just 50 years ago having on average 2-3,000% less cancer, depending on the country, than we have now. It's not just the photographic evidence of people being lighter weight, healthier, more engaged, even though they ate on average more calories than we do today. If you look at third world countries that haven't brought glyphosate to them yet, that haven't brought fluoridation yet, the people are happier. They're more awake. In the first generation of industrialization, they're still okay. By the second and third, it is over. So you add all the GMO, the chemicals, to the television, to the sedentary lifestyle, voila. You add all the screen time and the rest of it, and then you go read all the white papers and actuaries where they admit they're doing it to us on purpose. I've made the analogy, and the media's picked it up. I'm not saying this literally. I'm just simply saying, as a lay sociologist, as a lay anthropologist, psychologist, lay historian, lay overall researcher that just looks into how the world works and studies how the elite operate, this does not appear to be a human attack. But if you really look at it, this is how you would really, like a spider comes up and injects venom into its prey just to paralyze it, then ties it up, and then waits for it to basically slowly die over the next few days and for its acids to liquefy all the innards, including organs and things, so that when it exsanguinates at mealtime, it can suck basically 90% out of the bug carcass exoskeleton, that only say 20% that would have been its actual blood volume. And when I look at this culturally, it's like we've been hit by the anesthetizer, we've been hit by the stun dart, and we're kind of flopping around now, going into coma. Because 100 years is like, you know, 2 seconds in a strategic war like this. And so we're kind of going into the shake phase. We're being tied up, the police state's being put in, the culture control's being put in, most of the births will be cesarean soon, breastfeeding won't be done soon. They're shutting down Amish, they're shutting down farmers markets, they're shutting down all the normal human activity. That's the tying us up as we go into the coma, kind of lose our consciousness, lose our soul, and then metaphysically they have a right to then go ahead and exterminate everybody because we won't be humans anyways. And I really have just come to that realization that I'm not saying it's aliens, but folks, the elite are inbred psychos who believe that they're the breakaway species. So in all intents and purposes, it is. This is like an off-world frickin' attack. Of course, you can also just say we're a species that builds its own nest and changes its own environment. And so we've just built such a good nest for ourselves, we're killing ourselves as we cut off the normal duties that we would have had as humans previous to that. And then you get a predatory elite on top of it that is basically programmed through the television. And
you're the legend.
No, brother.
Hey, can I get a picture?
Sure, let's get a picture.
Wow, this is awesome.
Listen, brother, I'm walking around this airport. Do these folks not look like zombies?
They're all zombies, every single one of these people.
Isn't it sad, though? We're not saying that with pleasure.
We need real patriots to
take
over.
And you got electricity in your eyes, brother.
Yes, I do. No,
I mean, these folks look dead. I'm sorry, I'm not saying that.
Alex Jones, the legend.
No. And so this is your son and daughter? Very nice.
Yes, this is my... I have triplets.
That's awesome. Triplets, huh? Fraternal?
Yeah.
Obviously, everything's fraternal.
Mr. Jones, thank you for electing, helping Mr. Trump get elected.
Well, thank you, brother.
You're a patriot.
Well, listen, I was actually recording an audio deal.
Oh.
What do you want to say to folks?
I want to say thank God for Alex Jones. He's a real hero. I love him.
Are these guys awake over here?
Yes, they are awake.
Yes. Yes, they are not zombies.
What do you think of the New World Order?
She's against it. She hates the New World Order. She hates the Illuminati. She hates them all.
And this is your other daughter?
Yes, this is Morgan. Morgan, tell them how much you hate the Illuminati.
Oh, yes, I hate it so
much. She hates it all. She's so happy that you've got Trump in there.
So is it?
Thank you.
So is it two girls and one boy? Or all?
Yes, two girls and one boy.
Man, you're blessed. I'd love to have three at a time.
Oh, man. I can't believe it. You're a legend. You are awesome.
Absolutely.
You're everywhere. Hey, bro, thank you again. The last 2 weeks of that election, I felt your power. I rallied the troops. We got you to...
It was your power, brother.
No, it's all you.
Look, just finishing this up and getting back to the other part of the recording. I really care about people. The elite see this and have total disdain in the public and just think this is the evidence they're allowed to destroy them. But we've got to change course here. Now, I was getting to something really key here that when that fellow walked up, that we're basically changing our environment to the point that it's destroying us, and the elite are trying to make it worse and then admitting that it's a conscious decision to do it. And you can say their argument is they're just getting us out of our misery. But then you look at them and all the weird Satanism and other crap they're involved in and all the pedophilia, and you realize, no, they're a predator class that actually has made a sport out of losing their humanity, so they're projecting a system on us that's making us lose our humanity. I want to develop solutions to counter this, and it's not just eat non-GMO, get out and hike more, pray to God. Major studies show that absolutely ups your consciousness and gets you out of the melee of their control. But also, we need to realize we're on a planet in space surrounded by mystery and majesty, and that it's limitless, and that our potential is near limitless, and that we're made in the image of God, and we see that manifested. But we're building ourselves a hell, not a heaven, in many respects. And so we need to think about ways to regain our humanity. And I think so much of it is not caring what corporate media says, not caring what Madison Avenue says, not caring what the Wall
Wall Street kingpin say by setting them up as the idols and as the gods and letting them be the model of how we behave and how we operate and caring if they shun us or caring if they call us names. People call me all the time on air, off air, family, and they go, oh my gosh, you were on CNN a whole bunch. You were on Fox. You were on MSNBC saying horrible things. We know it's not true, but how are you taking it? And I say, again, as a badge of honor. And I know I make that point a lot, but a lot of people still don't get mainstream is a joke. It's propped up. We've now come to the end of mainstream. It's now collapsed. If you ever wonder what the death of mainstream media would look like, this is it. No one's buying into their culture anymore because they have no credibility. And because they were selling a culture of collapse, and now that much of the societal collapse is here culturally, they've made themselves vestigial. They've made themselves obsolete. But so much of the globalist program did not get completed. So we're here in this kind of no man's land right now where there's a global awakening happening right now. We have such potential. We have real intellectuals that have a desire for freedom and a destiny to promote. Reach out and get involved. We're unstoppable. I'm Alex Jones, again here broadcasting from the airport. I think it's symbolic to be in the middle of this big crowd right now. That it is conquering our environment that's made us procreate so much, but in the mass procreation, we have lost the vital essence that makes us human. And again, I know I'm not saying things that no one hasn't noticed before, going back to Plato's Republic, but I'm pointing out the public isn't aware of this when it's the governing system of their world. There's another paradox, and everything always comes in a paradox. It's really important. The West has empowered the world in so many ways, but all cultures have come together and, you know, added things. A lot of what the West got obviously came from Asia previous to that. But the fact is that the West has offered so much. Notice it's the West that's offered all the TV and the modern culture and the death and these innovations that have dehumanized us. So I'm always saying defend the West, defend the West, defend the West, defend the idea of free will and independence. But how do you get around the fact that we've turned ourselves into these soulless slugs that have no future and who aren't even really alive or conscious? That's what I'm saying. It's frightening, the dimness in everybody's eyes. And then, like zombies, they think if you're not dim, you're somehow bad because your existing makes them feel bad. Malthus, 250 years ago, thought that the Earth was already overpopulated with 100 million people and thought we should put everybody in compact cities to spread disease so we could kill off the surplus population, which was just kind of a repeat of what Plato had written 2,200 and something years before. So even though we're stunted and have problems, we still can do amazing things. So I don't want to be over negative here or sit here from the perspective of an elitist. It's just that this is their view at us, and a lot of it is true. I just think they should look at themselves in the mirror and ask why they're helping, why they're exacerbating this. All right.